Welcome to Torah Timecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esti Kimchi, and today we will be studying Sefer Yehoshua Perek Beis. Let's just take a brief look and summarize the last Perek, Perek Aleph. Yehoshua had assumed the leadership of Klal Yisrael after Moshe's death, and Hashem had promised Yehoshua that he would be with him just like he had been with Moshe. Chazak v'yemat, Yehoshua is told, strengthen yourself in Torah learning and you will have nothing to fear. Yehoshua had started preparing Klal Yisrael to cross the Yarden and enter into Eretz Yisrael, and he reminds Reuven, Gad, and half of the tribe of Manasseh that they will have to keep their word to Moshe by going into battle before assuming their residence on the other side of the Yarden. The Perek ended with Klal Yisrael pledging their loyalty to be with Yehoshua just like they had been with Moshe. And now let's look at Perek Beis, an immensely exciting Perek. The action is really about to begin. It's a shortish Perek with only 24 pesukim, and it's the Haftorah of Parashas Shlach. So the Bnei Yisrael are camped in a place called Shittim, which we know is on the banks of the Yarden. And from there, Yehoshua is going to send two spies. Rashi tells us that these are Kalev and Pinchas, and they are sent during the mourning period for Moshe. Their focus is to spy out the whole land. And the Ralbag says specifically this was not an intelligence gathering mission, but rather the spies were sent out to feel the mood of the people of Canaan. They're going to come to the house of Rahav, a woman whose home is in the walls of the city. There they will gather enough information to know that the people of Yericho, and by extension all of Eretz Yisrael, are indeed trembling, and they do not need to continue their journey around Eretz Yisrael. The king of Yericho will hear about the infiltration of these two men, and they'll send guards to Rahav's home. Rahav lies about the whereabouts of the two men, and she sends away the guards and hides the two spies. And then Rahav turns to them and tells them that the entire Canaan is indeed terrified, and she makes the spies promise that when Bnei Israel eventually cross over and enter into Yericho, they do not kill her or her family. The spies agree to her request, and they agree that anyone who remains indoors in Rahav's home at the time will be safe, and a scarlet thread should be hung from the window, marking her home as a no-go zone. The spies return back to Yehoshua via the mountains 3 days later. Let's take a deeper look. Pasuk Aleph. Vayishlach Yehoshua ben Nun min Hashittim shanaim anashim meraglim. Yehoshua ben Nun sends from Shittim these two men. They're upstanding men, and they've gone with a mission to be meragel, to spy out the land. Cheresh, the very next word in the pasuk. Literally, it means silently. Now, Rashi says cheresh refers to the spies themselves. They were to act deaf, and that would enable anybody surrounding them to talk freely, and this would be a great way for them to pick up lots of information. The Radak says that cheresh is talking about the mission itself, that the mission was a silent and secret mission. Yehoshua sent this himself, and none of the Bnei Israel knew about the sending of the spies, so as not to make them nervous, that perhaps Yehoshua himself was nervous. And the Medrash adds another idea. He says that the word cheresh is etymologically linked to the word cheres, which means pottery, and that Yehoshua was telling the men to go disguised as pottery merchants, and that way they could easily slip into the city of Yericho. The pasuk continues, Lachu ru'u es ha'aretz, go and see the land, ve'es Yericho, specifically Yericho, ve'yalchu, they go, ve'yavo, they come, beis isha zona, to the home of an isha zona, shma Rahav, and her name was Rahav, ve'yishkavu sham, and they lay down there. In pasuk ches, we really meet Rahav. Ve'himaterem yishkavun, v'hi alsa alehem al hagag, before they had laid down, she came up to them on the roof. Who was this woman? We already described how the Gemara in Zavachim told us the nature of Rahav's job. The Gemara there adds that she was a zona and had been working as a zona since she was 12 years old. This was the same time that Bnei Israel had crossed the Yam Suf, and it's very likely that she'd been forced into this job or position by her family. And we can assume that she was a very low, debased woman. She'd been working as a zona now for 40 years. And yet the Medrash points out something beautiful. When we're first introduced to Rahav, the pasuk says, Ushma Rahav, and her name was Rahav. And when a person is introduced like that, says the Medrash, with the word shame before their name, it's actually a sign that they are a very important person. So how does that help us understand Rahav? The Gemara says, the moment the spies walked in, she lays her eyes on Kalev and Pinchas. She understands immediately that she's looking at two incredibly angelic people. The Gemara and Megillah tells us that Rachav was an enormously beautiful, powerful woman. Arba nashim yefefios hayu ba'olam. There were four exceptionally beautiful women in the world: Sarah, Avigail, Rachav, ve'Esther. Rachav is listed among these incredibly beautiful women. And she'd used her beauty to do what she had done for the last 40 years of her life. And all of a sudden, when these two men walk in with their angelic look, she becomes so aware in that moment of the difference between her debased lifestyle and the loftiness of these two men. At that moment, she did a full and utter teshuvah. But truthfully, Chazal teach us that although Rachav had been involved in the lowest of low activities for 40 years, she also had had her antennae out, because she continues to tell the spies in the next couple of pesukim, she tells them that I know who your God is. I heard about what happened both at the crossing of Yamsuf and the miracles that took place there, and more recently, how he destroyed the two terrifying enemies that sit me'eva ha'yarden on the other side of the Yarden, Sichon and Og. I understand that your God is indeed mighty, and I want in. Rachav wants to be part of Klal Yisrael, and at that moment, she reaches an enormously high madriga. Rachav says in Pasuk Yud Aleph some incredibly beautiful words, Vanishma, and we've heard Vayimas levavenu, and our hearts have melted, Velokama od rach be'ish mipnichem, and there's no man who's left with any spirit in front of you. Ki Hashem Elokechem, Hashem your God, Hu Elokim b'shamayim mima'al, He is the God of the heavens above, Vi'al ha'aret mitachas, and upon the earth below. These are very beautiful words. These are words that we repeat daily in Aleinu. They are words of such emunah, and the Yalkut Shimoni says something immensely beautiful. We're going to meet other converts in Tanakh, and we've already met some, but the Yalkut Shimoni says there are none who reach to the level that Rachav reached at that moment. Yisro, for example, he says, Ata yadati ki godal Hashem mikol ha'elokim. Now I know that your Hashem is greater than all gods. He admits that there is a Hashem who's incredibly great. And later, in Malachim Beis, Naaman, who the wicked king of Aram, after he's miraculously healed, he'll say, Vayomer, hine na yadati, behold, now I know, ki ein Elokim b'chol ha'aretz, ki im b'Yisrael. Now I know that there is no God in the whole world, in this world, except for Yisrael. But it's Rachav who says in this pasuk, Ki Hashem Elokechem Hu Elokim Bashamayim Mema'al Vi'al Ha'aret Mitachas. She admits and she says that there is no one like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, both in the heavens above and in the world below. Rachav teaches us the immense power of Teshuvah, and actually her name is enormously fitting for her, as the Medrash tells us, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, Lama nikra shema Rachav? Why was she called Rachav? She rachva b'schuyot. She was enormously broad in what she merited. The Gemara and Megillah tells us that she goes on eventually to marry Yehoshua, who we know is a perfect Eved Hashem, and therefore this is a really great Shidduch, and descending from her will be eight great leaders, including prophets and priests. Shmona Nevi'im, Vehem Kohanim Yatsumi Rachav Hazona, eight Nevi'im, who are also Kohanim, are going to descend from Rachav. And these are going to include names like Baruch, like Yirmiyahu, and like Huldah. In the next pesukim, Rachav makes the spies swear to save her and her family, and then she lowers them with a rope outside her window, encouraging them to run towards the mountains, hide there for 3 days until danger passes. She promises them that it will be the same red rope that she will leave outside her window as a sign that this is her home. And in Pasuk Kaf Dalet, Tesvov, Vatoridim Bachevel, she lowers them with this rope, Ba'at HaChalon, by her window, because her house was inside the wall and she dwells upon the wall. Rashi tells us at that moment she completes her teshuvah. She turns around and she says, Ribbono shel Olam, it is with these two things, this chevel, this rope, and this chalon, this window, that I sinned, that I did terrible things in the last 40 years of my life with these two items. But I've now taken these two same items and look, I've used them to save these great tzaddikim. And she begs that her teshuvah be completed. The parak ends, pasuk kaf dalid, vayomru el Yehoshua, and the spies return and they say to Yehoshua, ki nasan Hashem biyadeinu es kol ha'aretz, Hashem has indeed given over to us this entire land, v'gam namogu kol yoshvei ha'aretz mipaneinu, and the inhabitants of the land have melted away before us. Rav Yerucham of Levavitz teaches us that there is a great lesson in this parak to be learned from Rachav. Here was a woman who was so low, and yet she went so high. In comparison, we know that the original Meraglim who set out to spy Eretz Canaan in Parsha Shelach, they were immense tzaddikim, and yet they fell so low. How is that possible? And he says it depends on one's direction. If one is moving downwards, even on a very small scale, one can free fall and spiral down fast, which is exactly what happened to the Meraglim. And yet if one is looking to grow and draw closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and whilst yes, most of us are not going to be faced with such dramatic moments like Rachav had, but, and often growth is going to be slow and not detected at first, but we can learn from Rachav that there is no limit to the greatness one can achieve. Thank you for learning this parak together with me. Sefer Yehoshua is dedicated by Nina and Chaim Schenker in memory of their grandmothers Miriam Schenker, Rachel Freeman, Teresa Schreiber, and Bella Oppenheimer, aleihem hashalom. They were Neshei Chayil who lived with the utmost commitment to Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, despite the physical and spiritual challenges they faced living in the United States, Israel, or Europe. May their example continue to inspire our families and the family of Klal Yisrael. I wish everyone a wonderful day.